with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Thursday edition, a special edition of The Drive, as we come to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here in Midtown. Bill and Dan here. We're here courtesy of the good folks at Sensegreen Heating, Cooling, and Insulation, but having a great time here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge watching Auburn beating Alabama State. But it has not been one of those games where, Dan, you feel like, wow, Auburn's really back on track and they're ready to make a deep run in the tournament.
Auburn has controlled the second half of this game and pulled away, and they're on pace to win by 25 or 30.
Right.
They were a 31.5, 32-point favorite coming off the books. But I'd say the first half, and especially the first 16, 17 minutes.
No, I would say, from the 8-minute.
Right.
From the 8-minute mark of the first half until the final minute of the first half.
You get the real
because remember, Auburn's up 28-15.
You get a real hot start from Miles Kelly.
Miles Kelly hit his first four threes, had 15 points in the first half. Auburn led by 13, and then they didn't get a basket from the just before the 8-minute timeout. Yeah. Auburn did not get another bucket until the final minute of the first half, and Alabama State cut it all the way down to two and was shooting free throws. Fortunately, they have really struggled at the free throw line. Well, both teams have struggled at the free throw line today, but they cut that 13-point lead down to two. But Auburn scored the final 8 points of the first half to go into the locker room up 41-31, and they now lead it 74-53, just over 4 minutes to play in regulation. So it looks like the Tigers will move on, but quite frankly, it's been somewhat of a lethargic, at times sloppy first half. Auburn had three or four just unforced turnovers. And a couple of the things that we've been talking about needing to see, we have seen Chaney Johnson against an outsized Alabama State off front court has stepped up and had a pretty good ball game. 13.6 rebounds for Chaney. That's his best ball game in weeks. However, Auburn, you mentioned Miles Kelly, 5 threes in the first half. He has 6 overall and 20 points in the ball game. But other than Miles, Auburn has not shot the ball well at all against a very outsized Alabama State team.
Right, and I thought that, we've talked about how the shot selection for this team was a strength for so much of the season.
Yeah.
I thought there were times when Auburn was settling for the...
They came down and take a quick three.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know, like, and even when this team was at their best this season and shoot, from the perimeter, I don't know if that was necessarily the way they were getting it done.
They weren't that early in the shot clock putting up those threes.
And Bruce has expressed a desire to run more and play at a faster pace in this tournament. Auburn was one of the best half-court offenses in the country, so I think they really need to pick and choose when they want to run, because I think there were times in the first half today where they ran themselves out of quality possessions by trying to push the pace and launch a quick three instead of working where they have advantages with Alabama State, especially around the basket. Side in the first half would be the way Chaney Johnson seemed to be able to hit from different places and be more of a weapon offensively than you've seen in the first couple of games of this season.
Oh, yeah. To sort of make a point, we talked, all right, Auburn's up now by 23 as Denver Jones, and this is good to see, and this is crazy that I'm saying this, Denver Jones just hit 2 free throws. Denver was 1-for-3 at the free throw line. Chad Baker-Mazzara missed the front end of a 1-and-1. The Auburn guards, who have been so good at shooting free throws, really missed a lot of free throws, especially in the first half. But to the point I was going to make, Miles Kelly is 6-for-14 from outside the arc. So Miles is 6-for-14. Auburn is 9-for-31. That means the rest of the Auburn team is 3 for 17.
Chad had an early three, but really a quiet. His only basket of the game.
Chad's 1 for 4. Denver's 1 for 5. Tahad 1 for 5. And Tahad's one was an off-balance prayer that was answered with a bank and a foul.
That quiet stretch for Chad continues.
It really does.
Over the last couple of games, and you hope.
Five points. Yeah, I mean, Chad has 5 points, 2 rebounds. He does have 3 assists, but a couple of turnovers and a couple of fouls for Chad.
What does he end up going from the field? Is he 1 of 8?
Chad's 1 of 8.
Yeah.
From the field.
Yeah.
Denver's 2 of 6.
Yeah, I think that's a guy who I think Auburn is going to need against Creighton.
They were pretty impressive.
Yeah,
today,
Creighton was very impressive in the victory over Louisville to start this tournament. So Auburn's gonna have to be sharp in the round of 32. We were saying that when you saw the bracket, the one seeds. I mean, look at what Gonzaga is doing.
Oh my, Gonzaga is just absolutely destroying the Georgia Bulldogs.
Multiple touchdown lead in the first half against Georgia.
Hey, Georgia's cut it to 18. It was 25-3.
Florida could potentially play a UConn team that's won the last two NCAA tournaments, right? I mean, so and Baylor's won a championship recently enough. I know there's no one left from that roster, but that could be Duke's opponent in the round of 32.
The SEC early on, not overly impressive. Texas out last night.
Georgia not competitive early with Gonzaga. We'll see if they can get back into things. Auburn,
they're going to win comfortably, but it if you've watched it, it's not the kind of performance that you'd love to see. Opening up your tournament.
I think the first half, and I know you point out the hot start by Auburn.
Miles.
Despite a hot start by Auburn and Miles continuing to shoot well at Rupp Arena this season, Auburn did not cruise in the first half to a big lead.
No,
in
not
fact,
at all.
As you mentioned, there was an 8-minute stretch where Auburn didn't score at all.
Well,
they didn't have a basket.
They got a few free throws, but that was about it.
I mean, Auburn's offense, and there was a 9-0 stretch by Alabama State that got them back into this basketball game, and they were even there. There was a possession where Alabama State had the ball with a chance to tie or take the lead. So I mean, this was Auburn had to regain control of the game at the end of the first half, and the second half has been what's the box in the second half? 38-25. So Auburn's at.
ESPN doesn't break it down. For some reason, we didn't get the passcode for stat, so I can't check the by half.
Right. I'm looking at it right now. So Auburn stretched the lead. You know, they grew the lead back to 10 at the half, and they've outscored Alabama State by 13.
I thought you were looking at percentages.
And they're on track to win this one. Like I said, they're up 23 in the closing minutes. On track to probably not going to cover the low 30s number.
Probably not.
That
probably
people had out there. It would be I think a bit of a surprise. You know, with 2 minutes left, up 22, and with some of the seldom used players checking in for the starters. But it is a you avoid catastrophe, and you have another chance in a couple of days against Creighton to go to just. The second Sweet 16 under Bruce at Auburn.
Yeah, and you should have the home crowd because Louisville's out.
Well, I think you were going to have the home. There was the threat of it anyway.
Because if you were playing Louisville, I don't know that you would have definitely had the.
Well, there was
the
belief that a lot of Auburn fans have been buying up tickets in Lexington for a while. I think Louisville is just an hour away.
Yeah, Louisville would have bought the other schools that lost if they had won.
One would believe it'll be a more partisan, although Creighton travels, we'll see what that fan base looks like on Saturday, but that's shaping up to be with an outstanding performance in the backcourt today, and then of course they've got Kalkbrenner, third team All-American forward.
Power forward had nearly 30.
Yeah, I mean it's a career high. So I mean
it's going to be quite the challenge for Auburn Saturday, and they're going to have to play better. The thing I don't think is – another thing that's concerned me, man, they've let Alabama State get to the rim an awful lot
over
today.
And over again, yeah. I mean,
Alabama State's missed a lot. I mean, Auburn's blocked a few, but still time after time, they've gotten to the rim.
Would you say breakdowns? There have been breakdowns on the perimeter
I would think so.
Where a guy has the – He's got the opportunity. It's usually he's either cut off by the perimeter defender, or the rim protection
or
cleans
help.
It up.
Yeah,
there have been multiple times where they've been able to. Where it seemed like Alabama State was able to get to the basket with little or no resistance, which is concerning. But Auburn will still take a 20-plus point victory in round one.
Final 15 seconds counting down right now. As Auburn's up 82-61, and I guess there'll be free throws here in the final few seconds.
Right.
Hey, heck of a year for Alabama State. 20-plus wins.
Their first ever
NCAA tournament victory. And
SWAC
and,
tournament
and,
title.
And they gave Auburn a real battle there for the half. Auburn able to pull away here in the second half. Led by Miles Kelly with 23. Jani Broom, not a spectacular night, but another double-double. 14 points, 11 rebounds, and they didn't give Jani any blocks. ESPN doesn't have. Jani had at least two while I was watching. But, again, we're not looking at the official stats. We're looking at the ESPN stats. It has not been a stellar night at the free throw line. Auburn, 18 of 33 at the free throw line.
And time expiring now as the Auburn Tigers
will win by 20.
Will avoid. Yeah, like we were saying, you avoid catastrophe. You advance to the round of 32, the one seed, the number one overall seed in the tournament, the one seed in the South Regional, the Auburn Tigers, playing on Saturday. We know the opponent. We don't know the time. We'll find out sometime tonight. I believe after all the action is complete and they know all of the matchups, they will make a decision as to who's playing when and on what TV networks. But we know Auburn and Creighton will do battle on Saturday in the second round.
All right, so we might as well go ahead and get to break as well. Again, we're coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here in Midtown. Love for you to stop in. They've got some specials going right now. Come on in. We're here till 6 o'clock. We'll continue. We'd love to get your thoughts on this ball game. My bracket is shot already. At least my perfect one was. I had Louisville winning the first game. And after about the first, I guess it was the under 12 timeout, it was a one-point game. The next time I looked up, it was a double-digit game and stayed that way for the rest of the game. So Auburn and Creighton will play on Saturday. We'll take a closer look at this ball game and of course, the rest of the day's action. Love for you to join us either here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, or you can call us on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Sky Bar. That number, 334-321-1390.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
So, yeah, I can tell today wasn't going to be a good day.
Welcome back into the Thursday edition of The Drive. Special Thursday Drive as we come to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here in Midtown. Bill and Dan, we've got Drew back at the studio, and we'd love for you to join in. We mentioned the phone number, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Let's get to the hotline, and Jeremy is up first. Hey, Jeremy.
Jeremy, you there?
Oh, we may have lost Jeremy.
All right,
if you get a chance, give us a call back.
Yeah,
yeah. When the ball game ended, and we were there before we went to our first break, we couldn't really hear back from the station. So sorry about that.
No, they had the game on, which is understandable.
Oh, I know.
And that's what I mean. A little celebratory music, and they'll have the rest of the first day action here at the Plaza. As well, you know, and on top of, we haven't talked about, you know, some of the cool stuff. You know, I mean, we've got some.
Oh,
Auburn
there's
Network,
all kinds of goodies.
Auburn Network
over here. I see shirts and
gear to
and
give
cups
away. Yeah,
and, yeah,
and also amazing food and drinks they've got here on the menu.
Yes.
at the Plaza. So come say hi and yeah, we've got a lot more college basketball to watch the rest of the day. I mean, there's some games right now. Clemson's cut into what was an enormous McNeese lead.
Oh, McNeese led 31-13 at the half.
And now it's just a 13-point game, 51-38, although McNeese appears to be shooting technical free throws. So
see what happens there.
And Georgia's still down 15 in the closing minutes of the first half against Gonzaga.
BYU at the half leading VCU 39-28. And it's sort of the way, I mean, that Creighton-Louisville game, we were talking about it a little earlier where it was a tight ball game for like the first 8 minutes, then Creighton jumped out and they were up 20-plus points. Louisville cut it, I believe, to 12 was about as close as they got it, and Creighton able to move on. So the 9 seed there in the South Regional gets the win over Louisville, the 8 seed, and Auburn and Creighton will play, and as you said, we don't know what time, but that is Auburn's next matchup on Saturday, and quite frankly, Dan, Auburn needs to play better than they did today to be able to advance to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I thought Creighton was really impressive.
Yes, they were.
I mean, they were in a situation where folks thought Louisville, maybe because of the location of the game,
right,
and because Louisville was one of the more underseeded teams.
Yeah, they were considered that maybe Louisville was dissed and they'd have that chip on their shoulder, and that chip was knocked off rather quickly by Creighton.
Right, and instead Creighton was very impressive and jumped out to a big lead, held on for most of the game, and now they look like a formidable challenge for Auburn in the round of 32. If Auburn wants to go to what would be it's just its second Sweet 16 under Bruce Pearl. First time, if Auburn wins on Saturday, first time in the Sweet 16 since the Final Four team did it in 2019.
Yeah.
And you've had some very good Auburn teams.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Between now and then that stumbled in the NCAA tournament. This team desperately hoping to avoid joining that list.
Yeah, and we'd love to hear from you. What did you think about today? I mean, I wouldn't be overly concerned but for the fact that it looks an awful lot like the way Auburn's played the last few ball games. I mean, look, when Auburn made that Final Four run, there was a great look on a three that could have eliminated Auburn in the first round. So, I mean, don't be overly concerned because your team doesn't play a near perfect ball game in round one. But again, I've got it right here. I kept.
And Auburn out-rebounded Alabama
by
State
10.
46-36, but I think they wanted a more dominant performance there. And
did you
hear
Bruce
first half,
in the pregame?
It was close. Yeah.
In the pregame, Bruce with Andy said, they can't play with us inside. We're dominant inside. And he was very confident. He said, we should advance. And Auburn did advance, but it was.
Do you think the plan was for more than half of Auburn's attempts to be threes?
No.
Against
no,
this
I don't.
Team? I mean, even though I mean,
no, because Bruce told Andy in the pregame, they can't play with us inside. We have a tremendous advantage.
Do you think the plan was for Dylan to have one attempt?
No,
in this game, I mean, Dylan.
Now they did remember when they were getting up to that 13-point lead. That's when they were getting it into Chaney.
Yeah,
and Chaney had six or eight points in a short stretch as Auburn built that 13-point lead, but they stopped doing that.
I think Auburn's got to find – here's the priorities over the next – I mean, assuming you have 48 hours before you play Creighton,
right.
I would say you got to find Chad Baker-Mazzara's groove, right? You got to find whatever's missing.
You need to get Denver's back, too.
You got to find Denver, too. But
hey, Tahad, like we said, he had that bank three, but he hit a three there at the end. That could be big. That's crazy to say that in a 20-point ball game, a three-pointer, because Tahad has really struggled shooting the ball the last few ball games. He needs to, have that confidence and feel like he's in rhythm, like Miles. Miles just can't wait to get the ball there in Lexington and shoot it. I mean,
15 three-point attempts for Miles today. He hit 7 of them. I think that
how many times has Auburn had players attempting 15 threes?
The sluggish sort of second quarter, I think, is what kept this game from being
a third. That would have
really unsightly.
Auburn could have covered there.
Yeah, really unsightly and one-sided. Instead, it was Auburn had to play well. Like I said, they had to regain control of this game. They had to play well at the end of the first half to extend the lead back to 10.
Yeah,
and then because they were able to do that, then in the second half, a hot stretch.
And they just wore Alabama State down. Alabama State was outsized. They're big. Played pretty well inside. Okan, I mean, I thought at times that, he held his own.
I'll tell you what, that, you know, a play that felt important at the time and sure enough sort of started the Auburn run that tipped the scales permanently in this one was the offensive rebound that gets back out to Miles Kelly for the three. You know, the scramble.
Oh, yeah, the save by, I believe it was Denver.
Yeah.
Flipped it back out to Miles for the three.
The floor, flips it out to Miles, and that's, yeah, that's a huge play and ends up starting a run that keeps Auburn able to build some distance against Alabama State.
Let's get to the drive hotline. 334-321-1390. And Daniel is up first. Hey, Daniel.
Gentlemen, it's quite different being able to speak to you guys right after the final buzzer. Typically, I have to wait 36 hours or whatnot.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
I'd like it better if I was coming to you from courtside, but I mean, I like it.
Well, and even while you guys were talking, you really kind of stole my point of that first half, 10 minutes or less, it really started to irk my nerves of the two things that I think Auburn might be beat in the tournament by, and that's the settle for the three-point ball and then also the missed free throws. I mean, for Janai to be either on maybe not a fast break but on a transition and have an open three or an open lane and him take the three, it's just super frustrating. You know, he is masterful, obviously, off his left hand, but for him to just settle for the three for, I don't know, two or three shots, I was like, man, let's attack the bucket. Let's settle for twos. Let's be aggressive. I don't know. I know when Alabama cut it to, what, 2 points or so?
29-27. Thinking, they went on a 12-1 run to cut it to two.
Right. I wasn't thinking we were threatened, but at the same time, it was almost an epitome of the last, like, five or six games that Auburn's just settled for threes and not rebounded well. What do you guys think? Can there be a switch that can be flipped going forward with the potential of this team? Is that a yes or a no?
I wonder how much... You know, Daniel, I wonder how much of that was Auburn taking what the defense gave them. You know, I think Auburn, you know, you had sort of a, you know, I wonder if Alabama State's approach was.
Alabama State was trying to pack it in, but again, Auburn still had the size advantage
they
over
did.
Them.
Yeah, no.
You get it in, and what we saw earlier this season, we talked about it yesterday, well, probably every day for the last few days, is the inside passing that we saw earlier this season from Janai to either Dillon or Chaney. You're not seeing as much of that.
And Bruce has said before, just because a defense is sort of daring you to take those three-point shots doesn't mean you need to do it. And I think with Auburn, like, even though Bruce is okay with a green, and most of the guys out there have a green light for an open three.
Well, look at the numbers from today. Auburn shoots 45% overall. 35 of their 60 shots are threes. And they hit 11 of those threes.
15 of those from
Auburn goes 16 for 25 inside the three-point line.
Yeah.
They should have gone there more and more and more. Daniel's exactly right. I mean, that's one of those things there where they can't stop you. Bruce was right. They can't stop Auburn inside, but for some reason, there were way too many early in the shot clock, pop a three, and for the most part, if it wasn't Miles shooting it, they weren't making it.
And I wonder how many – I do wonder how much of that was sort of Alabama State's plan, like to allow Auburn to have a – they'd give up a look from three rather than provide the – either really aggressively denying the inside look or once the guy gets it inside, you try – because you're right.
I'm sure it was their plan, but it just didn't look like Auburn tried to force it to see if it was going to work.
That's the key part, right, is that you have
even,
to
– Even though Alabama State may have been sinking back in there, you know, go ahead and go in toward the lane and see what happens.
Right.
Because then you get the opportunity. You mentioned it. I mean, Dillon with one shot attempt. He did have 8 rebounds. That is where Dylan was a guy, and we talked about Cheney, that in this ball game, Alabama State had nobody that could deal with that. They're having to try to deal with Janai. If Janai or anybody goes up and misses a shot inside, then Dylan or Cheney should have been able to be right there to put it back in.
I'll tell you what, if you want to talk about a situation where it looked like a plan for Alabama State, I thought fading off Janai at the three-point line felt like a plan by Alabama State, where they were willing to let Janai attempt a three rather than either put it on the floor and try to get closer to the basket or keep the ball moving to a higher percentage
sure.
three-point shooter.
That's where I'd love to see. All right,
look at Janai in this game.
What you need? Yeah, Janai's 0-for-3.
From three.
Yeah, and 4-for-6 the rest of the
five of six from two.
Yeah, 5-of-6 from two. But that's where Bruce needs to, all right, say, all right, look, here's what they're doing. All right, Janai, you take that pass there, pass it, and then you roll down closer to the bucket, and we'll see what happens there. Instead of just because you're open there at the top, taking the three, because there's nobody underneath the rebound, and they're usually going to be long rebounds anyway.
Tell you what else, Bill. If you hit 9 or 10 of the 14 free throws you missed today,
yeah,
the game looks more like a blowout than it does.
And there were a couple of front ends of 1-and-1s too. So, I mean, that's something that I felt, well, it's no problem. You foul Auburn's guards, they're going to make the free throws.
I wonder if Chad and Denver have both missed a free throw in very many games this year.
Down the stretch they have.
Yeah.
These last few ball games.
Because you didn't see Chad, that.
Well, I mean, it started off. Chad missed his first. Denver was 1-for-3, and Tahad missed his first.
Yeah.
I mean, those are three guys that are 85 or have been 85% or better free throw shooters that one for their first five today.
I wonder in how many games, I might look this up during the commercial break, Bill, how many times this year Denver Jones has missed more than one free throw in a game. Like, I wonder how many times is your Denver Jones 3-for-5
yep.
at the free throw line today. I wonder, and like you said, I think one of those was a 1-and-1.
It was.
That's one of the other things where if you add 8, 10, 12 points that Auburn gave up at the free throw line today, suddenly
then
this,
you're close. Then you're closer to
suddenly
what
this
folks
is,
expected.
Yeah, suddenly you would have been more comfortably ahead in the first half
right.
during that run. And it would probably, you know, you finish it looking 93-63, which is a little closer to what people expected.
It beats the heck out of what we were doing last year at this time. last year Auburn had lost this one.
Good luck.
This one, it's great criticizing a 20-point win.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's I think it's fair to be critical of some of the things that need to be cleaned up.
A&M gets to deal with all that in about a half hour after we're off the air.
Yeah, that is right.
As the team that drew Yale this year.
We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join us either here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. If you can't come in, give us a call on the Drive Hotline, 334-321-1390. We're right back here on the Thursday Drive.
ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge Midtown. And, man, what a difference a day makes. We were talking about it yesterday, but I wasn't prepared for how cool and windy it is today. I showed you the results of how windy it was a little while ago.
Just because it's cool and windy, though, right now doesn't mean you still need to get the AC fixed.
Hey,
you still need
the heating and air. They work still, both.
Heating is crucial, even though it's not going to be cool that much longer.
It's going to be, it's supposed to be around freezing tonight. There's a
is
frost.
That right?
There's a frost warning for tomorrow morning.
For all those pterodactyl wasps
that
just came out thinking they're safe.
Yeah, that's going to be tough on them.
It's going to be tough on them.
But no, the low is supposed to be around 33 or so tonight. So, yeah, we are here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, courtesy of the good folks at Sensegreen, heating, cooling, and insulation. And yes, I had the AC on night before last, and I'm going to have the heat on tonight. And then it's supposed to be back up around 80 on Sunday.
And by the way, with the games we got coming up between now and the end of the night, a table or a booth here at the Plaza for a couple of hours to follow the different games. It's exactly where
you need to be.
Oh, yeah,
man. They got TVs all over the place.
We're going to have Tennessee and Arkansas both tipping off, I think, in the next couple of hours.
Yeah, they tip off at
A&M too.
Yeah. Are these Eastern or Central times? 6:10, I would think that's Central.
Yeah.
So Arkansas and Kansas is at 6:10, Yale, A&M at 6:25. Right now we got three games going on. Wofford, Tennessee, by the way, starts at 5:50.
There is a period where there are four different SEC teams tipping off. Starting at 5:50, Wofford and Tennessee, Arkansas, A&M, and Missouri all tip off within the hour after that. So it's
an SEC team looks like their season's about to come to a close, as at the half, Georgia is trailing Gonzaga 48-27.
Another really impressive performance in an 8-9 game. Mm-hmm. You know, we got one of them earlier today.
Yeah, you usually figure, oh, those are toss-ups. The 8-9, the two 8-9 games thus far have been blowouts.
Creighton Louisville wasn't a toss-up.
No.
It was
a much, much more one-sided game than the final score shows. 14 points? Nah.
It's one of those games where 2 minutes in, if you bet Louisville, you knew you were
I don't know. I was going to say at the 8-minute timeout, it was like 18-17.
Yeah, but Louisville felt like they were having
Creighton was by far the better team.
Louisville was fighting
for their
lives.
Somehow you're thinking, oh, Louisville's been able to hang in here, even though they don't look as good. And then they got just destroyed.
It's like when you bet on a football game and you're watching it and the team you bet on is getting pushed around at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Early.
The score may not show it.
It's like, I'm on the wrong side of this.
I was on the wrong side. I started off 0-1, so I'm not even going to pay any attention to the bracket. I'm just going to pull for whoever. There goes my million. You're still in there. You had.
Although I did miss. I missed High Point Purdue, so perfect.
Oh, I'm not perfect. Well, then you're not going to get the.
I'm not going to get the million, but I'm hanging in there, and I didn't lose. I think crucially,
it doesn't matter so much if you lose a first round.
You don't want to lose. You don't want to lose anyone you had going far
deep. Yes,
and that's where
I didn't have Louisville going past. You know, Saturday.
Right.
Now they're not even two Saturdays.
I know Clemson was
a darling of a lot of people. I heard some people, who was it? There was somebody.
Clark Kellogg.
Picked Clemson to win it all.
Clark Kellogg on the panel had him in the championship game. I don't know if he had
I knew he had him in the championship.
He had them winning their region, and it looks like they're gonna struggle.
I mean, they have battled back and have cut it to 9, but there's less than a minute to go in the game. They were down 20-plus in the second half.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be the first victim of the Will Wade farewell tour at McNeese, right?
How long is that one going to last?
Well, you know what? Who knows? It looks like it's going to last.
I picked Clemson, but I liked I liked McNeese. I went against McNeese when the word came out that Will Wade was leaving for NC State. I thought that might be something that could distract them.
But you know what? That'd be a fun team to wreck havoc in the Midwest.
Yeah,
region.
No
That'd
kidding.
Be a fun one.
And then watch them all wind up at NC State next year.
And for all the talk of Clemson as a team that's going to surprise, I mean, a metrics darling that's going to surprise people with its physicality, McNeese has been the better, more physical team from the moment this game tipped off.
Oh, you're absolutely right. So, well, I mean, you know what it does do? It confirms what a lot of people were saying about the ACC. Just not very good.
Although Clemson has cut it to 6 after that three-pointer with a minute left. It would be shocking for McNeese to struggling against an adventure right now getting it across midcourt.
That's behind.
Yeah.
I know what happens on the next two possessions.
Right. But it's still.
They're going to cut it to 5 here, Dan.
They're going to cut it to 5, but with the clock moving, McNeese needed to get points and run some clock on that last possession.
Well, it's 22 seconds.
22
they're down
seconds
5.
Left
that,
down 5.
That is possible.
But it's McNeese basketball.
I know
so
it is.
They're gonna have to either.
They're feeling the pressure though.
They are. Although they just took it the other side and dunked. Probably could have run 10 more seconds there, but wanted to go ahead and get it on the run out and finish the finish with the exclamation point. But like you said,
I think that was the play before.
That was the dunk to get it to
seven
or eight, and then Clemson. It's a 3.
So it's still a 5.
It's 5.
And McNeese is going to be bringing it in.
McNeese is bringing it in from
length of court. So I mean, it's still 5. So I mean, it is doable. This would be an unbelievable comeback. But you know, you see this a lot in the tournament.
If McNeese gets this ball in, then Clemson's in big trouble.
They are.
Right?
Like I mean, Clemson. I mean, if they get it in, Clemson has to foul them immediately.
Clemson needs
and Clemson cannot make both free throws.
You feel like Clemson would need a turnover on the inbounds, which is why Will Wade called the timeout. Both teams in the double bonus. And I'm thinking.
All right, I can tell you I'm psychic before you see it on the screen. Clemson fouls with no time off the clock.
Okay, so they're not going to get it on the inbounds.
No.
Clemson had 13 at the half, by the way. They just
yes, it was 31-13 at the half. Because when I saw that, I went, what, is there a football game going on?
Yeah. We've seen a couple of football scores. I mean, Georgia was down a couple of touchdowns really early on.
Oh yeah, so. they were down 25-3.
Yeah,
they were down three touchdowns, a field goal, and a 2-point conversion.
Yeah, struggling.
It's like. meanwhile, BCU leading VCU, BYU another team that a lot of folks thought could win a few ball games here. They're up 14. They've led by as many as 20, and as we said, Gonzaga leading Georgia 48-27 that one at the half. Auburn, an 83-63 winner over Alabama State. In the second game in Lexington, they will take on Creighton on Saturday. Miles Kelly, the star for Auburn today, 7 threes. So he has now made 16 threes in two games in Lexington
down
this
six,
year.
Down
They're
six.
Taking their time.
Clemson's got to move. They got to hit this.
They
and
did.
They do. And
a
they
three-point game with 12 seconds to play.
Okay. Steve Witten's going crazy
you
in
know
the office
he is.
Right
he
now.
He is losing his mind.
The fighting Steve Witten's cut it to three, and we'll see if they
that,
can.
This has been an unbelievable
so
comeback.
So now you need a similar
Clemson.
Situation. You need a turnover.
Oh, you do everything you can to get a turnover.
If McNeese gets one of those free throws, you're in deep trouble,
yes,
though.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What a rally, though, for Clemson, right? I mean, this game seemed over before halftime.
I guess McNeese wasn't in the double bonus. I don't know. Are they now? I can't see.
Yes.
They're in the double bonus, so it's going to be two free throws. Okay. And that should make it very difficult.
Yeah, this game should have been over a half hour ago.
It is a four-point game, and it's about to be a two-point game.
Yeah.
Clemson's going to score in the next 2 seconds. This is crazy.
Wow.
I mean, at least according to what I'm
looking at the stop looking at the computer and react.
I'm looking here for stats.
React to the TV.
Well, I'm
don't say what's going to happen moments before.
Watch. How does no more time run off the clock than this?
Game's
it says
over.
Zero. Yeah, one. I got to put 1 second back on the clock. It looks like, but what a comeback by Clemson, but apparently falling short as McNeese with Will Wade headed to North Carolina State. We'll see. It's crazy. My scorebook says
react to the
says
TV.
There's 1 second.
React to the TV and not
well,
the box.
Well, we'll see. Are they may go. They may go to the review and check time.
I don't think there's any time.
I
left.
Don't either.
I don't think there's any time left. The ball's going through the hoop.
You know what that is? Sometimes I wonder. That's a Clemson person who's putting the score up there. They don't want to put that
final
second.
It's wishful thinking.
Yeah, they're there looking, but it looks like McNeese is going to hold off Clemson. Wow, unbelievable comeback!
Yeah, what a
by
rally!
The Tigers.
What a rally for Clemson. Falls just short. They ran out of time.
But the ACC will be 0-2.
Yeah. North Carolina and Duke.
Well,
the only
that's right.
Hopes.
Carolina got a win, so they're 1-2.
But North Carolina and Duke, the only two real hopes left for the ACC.
Yep. So that is indeed it is confirmed. The game is over, and McNeese has beaten Clemson 69-67.
Want to take a break?
Yeah, Bill and Dan here at the Plaza Bar. Love for you to join us. Come by here and join us in person, or you can give us a call, 334-321-1390. We're right back here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive, 1067, and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, Midtown. And we'll get right to the Drive hotline. And Michael is up next. Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. I didn't know if y'all had commented or saw the ending of the Michigan-Maryland game.
The Trey Donaldson layup in the conference tournament?
Yeah, Trey Donaldson with the game winner. I didn't know if y'all mentioned it. I'm sorry. I was just picking up, but... I was just curious, you guys thought.
He, you know, he
team,
had a few of those. That he... Go ahead. I'm
yes,
sorry.
Sir. No. You're fine. I was just. I love this team. I was just curious of where, in your if you can think or where would he play or what would his role be if he'd have stayed at Auburn? Do you think?
I think he would have played a good bit of point guard. Tahad probably would have been more of a two. I think he would have. You know, when Trey left, that's when Auburn went and got J.P. Pegues. I mean, so the plan was J.P. was going to be – remember, he started the season as the starting point guard. So I think Trey probably very well could have been your number one point guard with Denver playing – Denver and Tahad getting some work there. You're right, it might have made it a little tough to get minutes enough for everybody, but Trey would have played.
No, I think they would have found a way to maybe lighten the load that Denver – you know, some of Denver's point guard minutes might have gone to Trey in that situation. I'll tell you, that was one of the things that stood out when we saw the bracket, Michael, was the thought of if you get to the Sweet 16 and Michigan does too, you're seeing Trey Donaldson, and you're also seeing the big man that played really well in the Yale game last year.
Against
Wolf, facing off, and a team that just won the Big Ten tournament. Just a week ago. That's a really, you know, Auburn's got a tough round of 32 matchup. The other side of the bracket, you know, hasn't really shaken out yet. Michigan would be a tough opponent in the Sweet 16, to be certain.
I know that we're basketball heavy today, and with everything, I just had one follow up question because I haven't been able to watch or see. But I know Texas and Oklahoma in softball. I know what they're bringing to the table, but I haven't heard hardly anything or been able to see any. Of them for baseball, and I mean, can y'all give any comment on what they're doing baseball wise for Texas and Oklahoma? And I'll hang up and listen, guys. Thanks.
Texas had a 17 game winning streak after the sweep this past weekend. They lost the midweek game to UTSA. I want to say they lost a midweek game this week, but Texas had been playing like a genuine national champion contender in baseball to begin the season.
Texas has such a long, storied history.
That's
in baseball.
That's Schlossnagel.
Yes,
remember making the jump
from A&M,
and a guy who was at TCU forever. Mm-hmm. He was
people didn't know. People wondered, was he ever going to leave TCU?
Wasn't he a candidate for Auburn like multiple times?
He was I don't know if he was really a candidate, but he definitely was mentioned. Meanwhile,
one of the very best one of the best coaches in college baseball. He's got Texas playing at a real high level.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Oklahoma is 17-2, and they just got through taking a series in Columbia, South Carolina, from the Gamecocks. Whew. So, yeah, I think
they fit in.
They look like they could be competitive in this league, baseball-wise.
Men's basketball seems like the outlier. Because Texas and Oklahoma didn't have one of them contending for the conference title this year, and in practically every other sport, including football, you've had either Texas or Oklahoma at the top of the league competing for the title.
And yes, they are in softball as well. Obviously, they're the two teams that played for the title a year ago.
Texas could win it all in women's basketball.
Yep.
Maybe the best team despite UCLA and South Carolina and UConn. Texas might be the best team out there in women's basketball this year, too.
Yep.
Great stuff, Michael.
Anything else, Michael?
Appreciate it, bud.
Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind sports-wise? Obviously, we'd love to get your thoughts, your takes on the Auburn 83-63 win over Alabama State. Has that changed your mind? Has anything here early on? Man, we're just we're just 5 hours, really. Plus hours into the NCAA tournament, not even near halfway through the first day. But has there been anything that has changed your mind on your thoughts about this tournament?
With the Auburn victory, Bill, write it in pen. The drive will be at Skybar.
Oh, there we
tomorrow.
Go.
Tomorrow, the drive will be hanging out tomorrow for Skybar. And Skybar will have their Saturday festivities as well for the. For the round of 32 game. We don't know when. We will go off the air not knowing when Auburn plays Creighton on Saturday. Mike, it's speculation. I would say, how about this, Bill? Before or after 4 p.m. tip-off?
Before.
You say before?
I say before.
Okay, yeah. think that's probably right.
I think that might be one of their first ball games to sort of bring things in on Saturday.
I forget which West Coast regions are in action on Saturday, but it might make sense to let them have
the – why would you want to – they'd be playing at 9 o'clock in the morning
let
out
them,
there.
Maybe let them have the earlier ones and let an Eastern or Central time zone have the
and
noon.
And Auburn
the
would
noon
still
the,
have –
the noon
I mean,
of the two.
Even if you started at that 11 o'clock, you know, in the 11 o'clock hour, you've got nearly 48 hours.
You hate a noon tip?
No, I don't.
Not at all
here in tourney time.
I think that's on the table. I think with the way these two teams, you know, tip things off, I could see that being on the table. So I would brace yourself for a brunch time tip off on Saturday, and we'll be previewing that tomorrow downtown at Skybar.
All right, looking forward to that. But we've got another hour here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge on the Thursday drive. We'll get to our top of the hour break. Come on in and join us in hour number two.
We're here at the Plaza, of course, because of our friends at Sensegreen.
Sensegreen heating, cooling, and insulation. And, yeah, I mean, you need that insulation for the heat or cool to work. And as crazy as the weather has been, from 80 to 35 in 48 hours, you probably ought to get in touch with them. We're right back here on the Thursday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Thursday Drive, the opening day of the full NCAA tournament, and the Auburn Tigers in the win column. It may not have been the prettiest game that Auburn has played. Bruce Pearl has quite a bit to work with his team on, but the Tigers, after a really rocky 8-minute stretch toward the end of the first half, end up winning decisively by 20, 83-63 today.
We spent a lot of the first hour focusing on concerns, negatives,
right,
you know, from that. Not exclusively, but, you know, they got a lot of airtime. Now, I would say looking at the positives, you know, aside from the fact that you're in the round of 32 and you're not going home like half the teams in this field and dealing with sort of the stunning turnaround of your season being over, but the fact that Auburn was able to keep their composure when Alabama State made their move at the end of the first half, and it didn't spiral into something that Auburn couldn't recover from.
And that's something we'd seen quite a few times this year. Look, Miles Kelly said it in a quick interview at halftime. Basketball's a game of runs. They went on a run. We just got, you know, then we had to respond. And Auburn did, scoring the last 8 points of the first half to go up by 10. So, and then Kelly, I thought Miles Kelly, Tahad Pettiford, struggled early on from three, but he finished with 16 points. Miles finished with 23.
It's Thursday. Drew, call Pascal.
Yes, David Pascal. We will get him on from Chattanooga. He's just wrapping his show up. So we will get his thoughts on that. I'm sure he was watching that as he was on the air.
Tennessee's about to tip off. Georgia's going on right now, so we'll have some basketball to talk about with the Rascal here early in hour number two. Yeah, I thought Auburn keeping their composure. I thought that Chaney finding his stroke from a couple of different spots was a sign in the right direction. Chaney had some one-on-ones.
Yeah, Chaney had 13. He hadn't had double figures in about six ball games.
And Janai around the basket was still, I mean, I think that
he only missed one shot, and what he did when he missed that shot, he got the rebound and put it back in.
Yeah, I mean, I still think there's something. I mean, I get that Janai wanted to, you know, wanted to test his range and maybe sharpen that aspect of his offensive game going into round two, but Auburn's going to need the 20 and 10 machine, and they're going to need it around the basket, Bill.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, Creighton, who Auburn will be playing on Saturday.
Look up Kalkbrenner's numbers. Look at the big.
Well, I think Jemiah Neal had 29. But the other guy, Kalkbrenner, had He had a double-double as well.
And he had one basically in every game of Big East play this year. Kalkbrenner is he's third team All-American in his own right. He is one of the best big men Janai has seen all season long.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Two of the 15 players on the All-American list.
All right, Kalkbrenner, let's see. Six of eight from the floor, four blocks. I'll pull up that box as well.
Yeah, check his game log out when we're pulling up and we're talking to Pascal because it's
And Creighton, you know, just led throughout and dominated that ball game. Again, the final score not indicative of how dominant Creighton was. All right, for Kalkbrenner, 30. Now, here's the thing. The top three players for Creighton played 38 minutes for Kalkbrenner, 39 for Jemiah Neal, all 40 minutes for Stephen Ashworth, the point guard. But Ashworth had 22 points and five assists. Jemiah Neal, the power forward, a career-high 29 points, 12 rebounds. Kalkbrenner, 14 points and six rebounds. They don't have a lot of depth. That's one thing. They only played one player off the bench more than 10 minutes, and he played 12. So, you know, hopefully that's something that Auburn can use. But they're going to have to play better, no question about it, on Saturday. 334-321-1390. That's our drive hotline. We're going to get to it, though. And we have our regular Thursday guest joining us here in hour number two. He just wrapped up his show on WGOW in Chattanooga. And, of course, has his work with the Chattanooga Times Free Press. That's David Pascal as we welcome him in to Bill and Dan here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge Midtown here on the Thursday drive. Hey, David, how you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. Hope you guys are.
A lot better than it felt with about a minute to go in the first half of that Auburn-Alabama State game.
Yeah, you know, if you're a glass half full guy, I think one of the things that has kind of been a factor with Auburn down the stretch is it's reminiscent of the 2022 team that was so dominant and got to number one. But you saw down the stretch how they just got so reliant on Jabari Smith. And Pearl had even alluded to that after the Tennessee game. You know, they were running a lot through Janai Broome, but other people were obviously needing to step up. You saw some of that today, but you're still, I don't know where Auburn's free throw shooting has gone. That has been such a strength for so much of their season, and it has just been disastrous lately. And so this is definitely a team that is not at its peak right now for sure.
No, you're right. And I mean, it's three guys that started off the game 1-for-5 who just a few games ago were all over 85% free throw shooters in Tahad Pettiford, Denver Jones, Chad Baker Mazzara. They started off the game 1-for-5. They did hit free throws a little better down the stretch, but you've got to have your guards making free throws. And, you know, Auburn missed 14 of them today.
Free throws have never been a strength of Janai's game, and that could absolutely be a factor late in close games in this tournament. But Auburn, you know, Chad and Denver and Tahad were phenomenal free throw shooters earlier in the season. I mean, this is just the second time or the third time all season. Today was just the second or third time all season that Denver Jones missed more than one free throw in a game to sort of show you. And Chad set an SEC record for consecutive free throws made.
51. He made 51 straight free throws early in this season. And he just hasn't been himself since that ejection a few games back.
To say it's inopportune timing for a cold snap with your free throw shooting, David, is putting it lightly.
Yeah, and it's an interesting dynamic because they have so many. When things were going well, it seemed like they were all doing well. And again, going back to being half full, I mean, you did see Chaney Johnson and you saw Tahad Pettiford kind of bounce out of slump. But you're right.
Yep.
I mean,
and Miles
Baker
Kelly.
Mazzara's got to get out of his. And of course, the best thing Auburn has going for it right now is the fact that Miles Kelly has hit 16 three-pointers in Rupp Arena this year.
In two games, yes.
Right.
Yes.
I think Kobe Bray is the only player who's hit more three-pointers in Rupp Arena this season than Miles Kelly. No, it's a and David, we were talking about it before we brought you on. You get Foreman versus Ali. Like you get a heavyweight title fight when you get Kalkbrenner and Jani Broome down low. Those are two All-American posts that are going to do battle on Saturday when Auburn plays Creighton.
Yeah, and you would like to think that one of the, you know, Auburn's strengths that probably doesn't get talked about nationally enough is just their fantastic defense against three-pointers. And you would think that they'll be much more in their face compared to what Louisville did today. Because I just thought, especially when Creighton pulled away and got that big halftime lead, I was watching that game just going, none of these three-pointers are really challenged. I mean, they're getting great looks. So, you know, that may be something that Auburn can kind of put a shock to Creighton's system for if Auburn plays really well defensively. You know, I'm actually glad that first game wound up the way it did because I just thought that was one of the biggest injustices of the whole tournament. I mean, you've got a team in Auburn that's fourth in the AP poll having to play would have had to play a team that was 10th in the AP poll in Louisville in the second round in Lexington. I mean, that just made no sense. Having an AP number 4 team and an AP number 10 team with the potential of meeting in the second round and then having to do it with all that. I mean, you saw all that red in that first game. So Creighton looked really impressive. I'm just glad Auburn doesn't have to face Louisville and Lexington because that just for fairness sake didn't seem right.
No, and I guess now the NCAA selection committee can go, and that's why we put them as an 8 seed, and also can pat themselves on the back for putting North Carolina in the field.
I mean, although they won't be taking any questions about Texas.
No, you're right about that.
And speaking of Carolina, you know, you've had, I think with Louisville and Clemson, Clemson rallied and made it close.
It was an unbelievable finish by Clemson to nearly, you know, nearly have a chance.
Rough start for the small number of ACC teams in this tournament,
no,
David.
No kidding. With Louisville and Clemson. Clemson 13 points in the first half. I wasn't sure whether – I thought, wow, I've never seen anything like that until I looked over and saw the Georgia score early on.
Yeah, I think that's actually the story of the tournament so far. I mean, I know it's incredibly early, but the fact that we're not even done with the first full day of action yet, and the ACC's already down to Carolina and Duke. I mean, that's and people are still complaining that Carolina got in. It is what it is. We saw this back in November. I mean, the SEC beat the ACC 14-2, and that was unprecedented. And we talked about this last week. You're going to have people complaining about Texas. They shouldn't have been in, and Georgia's, you know, struggling against Gonzaga. And it's like you can only do what you can do in the regular season. And the SEC played a lot of big-time teams, and you can't just discount a Georgia win over St. John's. And, I mean, that was my argument about Texas. Texas did not have the non-conference schedule that a lot of the other SEC teams did. So I certainly wouldn't have had a problem if Texas didn't get an invitation. I mean, it does make it wild that the SEC got 14, but that was a very questionable selection for sure.
I almost felt like Texas got in because Carolina got in. I mean, because it looked like they were both on the outside looking in, and West Virginia was going to be in, and it almost felt like, well, if we're going to slide Carolina in because of, you know, their pedigree, then we got to put Texas in as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and again, I know you had the governor of West Virginia make himself out to be an absolute moron to do that the other day. I mean, I'm sorry, but when you got a 68-team field, if you're 65 through 70, you know, somebody's getting in and somebody's not, but you really don't have that much complaining to do.
No, you're right about that. All right, David, I was just asking folks, has anything changed just from the, you know, not even halfway through day one? But instead of that, I mean, who did you go into this tournament feeling like, man, this team is somebody that I really like and maybe a high seed that you feel like could be in trouble?
Well, it's funny. I mean, and it's easy to say now that it just happened, but, I mean, Will Wade is a guy that I got to know here at UTC, and, you know, he goes to VCU and then obviously LSU and gets in a whole lot of trouble that he wouldn't now in this NIL world that we live in. But, I mean, it's unmistakable.
He can coach.
He's a phenomenal coach. And, I mean, that's one of those 12-5s that looked like it was there for the taking. And you're exactly right. That 69-67 or whatever it was is a very misleading final because they just had their way with them. And, you know, I've followed Will since he left, and I followed his news conference yesterday when he was asked about the NC State situation. And he's just like, look, I addressed it head on. I told him exactly where things stood. And he said some of the players were willing to talk about where things stood with them in the transfer portal. And it's like you can't run from this stuff. You need to face it head on. And you really saw a team that was together. And, you know, if you saw the end of the game, Will Wade, you know, ran into the crowd celebrating with McNeese State fans and the school officials. And, I mean, everybody knows this is coming to an end at McNeese, but, man, did they ever pull it together to get their biggest win in school history. That was really wild how that all came together so nice for them.
David, and it's so trendy to point to the changes in college athletics and indicate that things are worse than they used to be. But the fact that a guy like Will Wade, like the rules used to be that he would leave and all those players had to stay at McNeese. Like
they'd have to sit out if they wanted to come along.
It would have been ridiculous to think that that's the way things should be. Instead, Will Wade saying, yeah, I can leave. They all can leave. And maybe, you know what? Maybe I'm not done coaching some of these guys, you know, in their college basketball careers. You got several SEC teams in action. In action tonight, including Tennessee. I know a lot of people think the Vols can the Vols can make a deep run. You got Arkansas, Kansas.
I've got them in my Final Four.
As a matter of fact, I've got Tennessee. I fall for it every year, but I also have Tennessee winning that region. I think Gonzaga-Houston could be a great game in that region, speaking of which. And the Yale Bulldogs taking on the Texas A&M Aggies. Drake, Missouri, too. What do you think of the evening slate for the SEC, David?
Arkansas, Kansas, too.
Yeah, I know it's a kind of a first world problem, but it seems like all the great games are coming up right now.
Yeah.
The late games aren't as SEC heavy, but with the Tennessee-Wofford game, because Wofford's in the Southern Conference, too, and I'm familiar with them, they've got a unique player in Kyler Filowitz. He's a 6'9", 250-pound center who leads the team in rebounds, which is not a surprise, but he also leads the team in assists. They just completely work their offense through this guy. He cannot make a basket further out than 6 or 7 feet, but he's just a really good facilitator. I mean, he can drive to the basket, and he's really good at dishing off to players who are cutting to the basket. So, and of course, he's going to be one to watch tonight.
He's got that Vlade Divac game.
Yeah, he shoots free throws underhanded. So
yes.
He went granny style earlier this month. He was shooting 29% overhand, and so he went granny style, and he's raised it from 29 to 31.
All right.
So he's not a threat to make them, but it's still, you know, it's something unique that the fans can follow.
You know, Calipari and Patino are both in Providence. They could play each other in round two. Providence has excellent Italian food, so I'm sure both of those guys are pretty fired up about getting sent there. But you know, between Bill Self and John Calipari, one of them, their tournament's done tonight, right? Like those are not two guys that are. I know lately Calipari had that problem at Kentucky, but those are not two. Those are two coaches accustomed to making it at least to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. What do you think of Arkansas tonight against the Jayhawks?
You know, I'm going to have to focus more on Tennessee, obviously, but I love that. I mean, I love that game because you're talking about a team that, you know, obviously with two named coaches, you know, one in his first year at a new school, but, you know, Arkansas started 0-5 in SEC play and wound up, what, 8-5 because they went up 8-10. Then you think about Kansas being the preseason team to beat and just how they've just kind of had a very, very mediocre year. I mean, this one's fantastic. I loved this one. I loved Georgia-Gonzaga until Gonzaga got up 25-3.
And
there was one more SEC game that I'm drawing a blank on because there's so many of them that I was intrigued by. It was Georgia. It was Arkansas.
Drake, Missouri.
Trying to think.
Is it Yale and A&M?
I do think Yale, Texas A&M is intriguing just because of what happened to Auburn last year with Yale, and can that happen again? But No, it's
SEC game. Go ahead, David.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it's, you know, people will want to rag on the SEC, and it's the Georgias that don't do the SECs any favors, you know, getting behind by 22 out of the gate. But, yeah, I mean, teams like Arkansas and Texas A&M kind of need to do their thing to make the league mm-hmm. look good.
An SEC game that suddenly got a lot more interesting in the last couple of days, I think, with the way North Carolina played against San Diego State, is Carolina Ole Miss. Tomorrow.
That's the one.
I don't feel so good for Ole Miss tomorrow.
I figured it wasn't Baylor, Mississippi State that you were, forgetting about, David.
That's exactly right. It's Ole Miss, North Carolina. That's the other one I was really – because, I mean, and I don't mean this to sound bad, but Ole Miss kind of has that poor man's Auburn. I mean, it's a very veteran team with like 8 or 9 seniors. They just don't have an inside threat like Broome.
Yeah, they don't have much size. Right.
Yeah, they don't have the size of Auburn, and so, but they are a very veteran team that, I mean, Matthew Morrell seems mm-hmm. like he's been in the league since, like, he played with Sean Toohey. But, no, I mean, I'm very intrigued. That was the third one I couldn't think about, Ole Miss, UNC, because UNC, I don't know if that was a one-night thing or not, but they did a good job of playing with the old chip on the shoulder.
Boy, they sure did. And this is great. I mean, this is why this is as good a time as there is. These first few days of the tournament are just great. It's just game after game after game, 12-plus hours a day here for the first 4 days. Gotta love it.
When was Georgia's last win in this tournament? Do you have to go back to, like, 01 or 2000? You know, like, for the last – I mean, and it's – and then
it's been a long time.
And you got to go back to, like the 90s, I think, to their last second weekend. That's a run that's going to continue here with Gonzaga firmly in control. Against the Bulldogs.
Guys, yep. I'm sorry, but my phone went bad like it does a couple of times, so I can't hear what y'all are saying on y'all's end, but I know we've been able to talk most of this time. But have a great weekend, and we'll holler at each other next week if it's convenient.
Oh, no.
Great hearing from you, David. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I guess, you know, he's got a timer where this is all he can take of Bill and Dan. We appreciate David joining us. David Pascal from the Chattanooga Times Free Press and WGOW in Chattanooga. We'll get to our first break here of hour number two. Bill and Dan here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, Midtown, courtesy of the good folks at Sensegreen Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. Come on in and join us either here or give us a call on the Drive Hotline, 334-321-1390. We're right back here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Camp.
On this Thursday afternoon, again, Bill and Dan coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here, Midtown, courtesy of Sensegreen. Having a great time here watching the first full day of the NCAA tournament, including Auburn's 20-point win, 83-63, over Alabama State a little bit earlier.
And it's great to be here. You know, again, our thanks to the good people at Sensegreen
right.
for letting us take the show on the road. And we love coming to the Plaza. And we got one of our pals here from the Plaza, Josh, to tell us about what's going on here. First of all, I mean, we love the vibe. The nods to businesses that used to be in the area, or some nods to Auburn history.
Well, that sign there wasn't exactly in the area. I mean, that's from down closer to home.
The Buddy Mitchell sign, or
uh-huh. I know my wife's from Bruton, and I'm from Escambia County. So.
That was a gift given to us by somebody from that area. Actually, that was the original sign.
Yeah, I remember that sign. Going across Murder Creek, as a matter of fact. Did you know that? That was that bridge crossed Murder Creek, which separated Bruton and East Bruton, Alabama.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, and a lot of the other signs we have around the restaurant were all, you know, kind of harvested, if you will, from the property here, from the local businesses that were on the property to begin with.
So this is one of the – I mean, spending the first day of the NCAA tournament here, it's like, I mean, just a perfect spot with the TVs, with the menu of food and drinks. I know you guys will have you'll have the doors open on Saturday whenever Auburn is playing. If folks want to come and watch Auburn throughout this tournament, this is where they should come.
Absolutely, we'll have specials going the whole tournament. You know, we've got great specials every day. Yeah, but anytime Auburn plays, dollar wings, you know, and really anything you want. It's all special here at Plaza.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know you were thinking, I mean, yesterday even, we were thinking, oh, we'd be outside today.
Sure.
Whew. Got a little cooler today, but it looks like it's going to be warming back up. So, folks, but, I mean, great atmosphere both inside and out here.
Yeah, thank you. You know, folks come out a lot when the weather's nice, but I'm super happy with the turnout today. We had a great crowd in here. Everybody had a great time, and it always helps when Auburn comes out with the victory as well, too.
Sure, so. And then, yeah, Saturday should be a lot of fun, you know, with folks watching. And, you know, when the weather's like this, dollar wings are a great way to stay warm.
That is
a unique way. Jordan was telling me you guys have a crawfish boil scheduled for the spring that's coming up a little bit later on. Is it May?
That's right. Yeah, May 17th. It'll be our second annual crawfish boil.
All right.
We had a great turnout last year, over 400 pounds, I think.
Wow.
We went through before dark.
Wow.
And we're gonna up that number a little bit this year, and we're expecting another great turnout for it. So.
In the grand tradition of Opelika Road crawfish boils, right, Bill?
that is true. I remember one
for a long time. Yeah, long time
down
Auburn
the road.
So it's great. I mean, that sounds like it's gonna be a lot of fun. And then for folks who want to know more about, I mean, how can they find the Plaza on social media,
sure.
Websites, you know, let folks know where they can find you guys.
Instagram, Facebook, and we're very active on those, always posting about what's upcoming at Plaza. And then our website, auburnplaza.com, that'll be where tickets will be available. And, check us out.
And then
it's just really cool after having been here a few times now. First time, it's like, am I in the right place coming in here? But, no, it's great. It's like you've got your own community sort of here, and it's great. Park and just walk and wander around and then come on in and hang out here with great folks, great food, and like I said, a great atmosphere.
Absolutely. A lot of people don't know there's actually close to 20 locally owned businesses in this community here, and it is a mainly student community, housing community here, but there are tons of local businesses to come and support. It's taken us integrating with the community a little bit to get folks to kind of realize where we're at, but we're doing a great job. We've got an amazing team that's here, and we're just rocking and rolling. So.
There's a connection with the Waverly local too, right?
Right?
I mean, is it a shared menu, shared?
Well, it's the same restaurant group. We have Plaza Bar and Lounge, the Waverly local. We're working on a couple other concepts as well, too, hopefully coming down the pipe later this year. And then out in Waverly, we just opened a new event space, which has pop-up wine bars, live music, things like that. Just having a lot of fun.
Very cool. It's gorgeous out there, and the space. Yeah, the space for the logo. It's all very exciting. Really appreciate you having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, we talked a little bit about the menu. Mentioned the wings. We did the burger. The last time we were here, the War Burger, one of the best, I will say, one of the best cheeseburgers in Auburn. If you don't know what you're getting into, brace for the pickles.
That's right.
Like, I feel like that's right. Like, I feel
yeah,
like that's,
no, that's like, good advice.
I think if you don't
that's
know, it, like, it's, you know, brace for the pickles because they hit you.
They're the Wickles Dirty Dills.
Yeah. You put some live rounds in that burger, but it's still. It's a must try. We've told people about it. Whenever we mention that we're going to the Plaza, like, one of the things that comes up is like, oh, that the, you know, they got the War Burger, they got the cheeseburgers out there. So really appreciate opening your doors and letting us let's take up some space here.
Yeah, man. Anytime you can put up with us. Yeah, we
well,
love it.
So last year was the first time we had y'all
right.
First day of the tournament, and we lost.
Yeah, so it's not our fault. things weren't looking so good.
Luckily, we won today, so we're happy to have you all back anytime.
Okay. Things did much better after we got in here. It was like they were struggling a little bit there.
When you two guys showed up, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's about it.
So check out if you're looking for somewhere to watch the game on Saturday. Whenever Auburn and Creighton tip off, the Plaza Bar and Lounge is a must visit.
Come check us out, man. And I got to do a shout-out to Cincy Green for having y'all here today.
Yeah.
Here, Uncle T-Bone told me when the air is cool and clean, call Cincy Green.
Look,
you got
pro.
It down, Josh.
You're a pro.
Thanks, man. Hey, we really appreciate it.
Great stuff, awesome. Josh.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, we'd love to hear from you. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. We've got a half an hour to go. So come on in and join us here on the Thursday Drive.
ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 25 minutes or so here on this Thursday. Bill and Dan here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, Midtown. And let's see, another game has gone final in the NCAA tournament. It's BYU has knocked off VCU 80-71.
VCU was a popular Cinderella among the double-digit seeds. VCU was one of those teams. There wasn't a ton of distance between those two teams in some of the metrics, and yet BYU was the sixth. VCU was the 11. That's the former. That's Ryan Odom, the former.
Oh yeah, it sure is.
Former UMBC coach now at VCU. He's a candidate for a couple of the other jobs that are still open right now across college basketball. By the way, did the Texas news, is that official? Did they make a change with Rodney Terry? I know there was buzz last night.
Oh no, I hadn't seen it. Check to
see if there's been talk there. There was buzz last night.
It is not. No.
Interesting. Okay. There
not
was,
yet.
There was buzz last night. The Texas.
Well, I know there had been a lot of talk. There had been a lot of pressure on him coming down the stretch.
Yeah. I mean, so nothing. Nothing. Nope. Nothing
not
official.
Not in the headlines.
One piece of news. We should mention. That you can find just on the main ESPN.com site.
Oh, okay.
Is one featuring a very important former Auburn player, a former Auburn athlete, and that is Kirstie Coventry. Yeah, Kirstie Coventry, former Auburn swimmer, national champion from 20 years ago, who was elected the president of the International Olympic Committee. First woman.
How about that?
First woman to ever serve as the president of the IOC. So a decorated Auburn athlete, decorated Olympic athlete, and now the president of the IOC. Congratulations to President Coventry. How about that, Bill? Not Kirstie anymore. It's President
That's
Coventry.
Right. All right. There are reports that Texas is – I mean, last night they planned to. Today it's being reported that he is going to be fired, but they haven't done it officially yet.
How about the juicier part of the rumor? The coach that beat Texas,
Sean Miller,
in the play-in game last night.
Sean Miller has, he's got a few wins under his belt.
You know what? That's a guy who made a few strong offers back in a previous era
out west
of college basketball when you weren't supposed to be doing things like that.
Yep. Texas, a la Will Wade.
Texas wants someone who maybe knows how to navigate like a large NIL playing
field.
Sean
Miller's a heck of a coach.
Sean Miller's a heck of a coach and would probably get Texas some pretty good players. Along the way, like, and I don't know if that was the problem with Rodney Terry, but the reports are that Sean Miller might be at near the top of Texas's wish list if they were to replace Rodney Terry, which is expected as per reports.
Yeah, again, it hasn't.
If you're
been
a Texas fan, you okay with that trade?
Going from Rodney Terry to Sean Miller? Yeah, I mean, just another. Another guy who has won some big ball games coming into the SEC.
And
the SEC basketball coaches is just ridiculous.
Tell you what, if I'm Porter Moser and I lose to UConn, and I'm out in the round of 64 this year, and that's my only – I believe that's his first trip to the NCAAs. I don't think he's – or maybe it's his second trip to the NCAAs of Oklahoma. He has not won a tournament game.
Oklahoma is not going to take it well if Texas looks like they're upgrading to Sean Miller.
That's not a patient athletic department.
No,
and it's also, you know what, when you're a Jordan brand school, I feel like, you know, mediocrity is not, you know, it's you know, the expectation is something, there is a standard that needs to be followed. So I wouldn't be shocked at all if we're talking, I mean we'll see. You know, maybe Oklahoma makes a run in this thing. Oklahoma has Florida in the round of 32 if they beat UConn. I wouldn't be shocked at all if this time next week we're talking about new coaches at both Texas and Oklahoma.
We're just about 10 minutes away from Wofford and Tennessee tipping tonight at Rupp. Meanwhile, Georgia is down 25 to the Zags.
One of my Cinderellas is, we were saying earlier, you don't want to lose a team you had going deep. I think that's the key early on. Is right. You can survive a loss or two. You want to keep your Sweet 16, your Elite Eight, your Final Four alive. I've got the Arkansas Razorbacks making a bit of a run in this thing. I think
they're talented. I mean, they're talented enough to do that.
We were talking
no question.
Of all the games that you could play featuring the one seeds and the two seeds in this tournament. The one to me, where it's like, How large is the gap between these two teams? Is Arkansas versus St. John's? Really? Like
talent-wise, probably. I mean, if you didn't see the names on their jerseys or whatever, their hype coming in, probably Arkansas would be considered more talented than St. John's.
And maybe Creighton is going to come out and look like the one seed against Auburn, right? Like, that can happen. Maybe UConn or Oklahoma does that to Florida. Look, Gonzaga is looking like a one seed right now against Georgia. They've got Houston in the round of 32. What a game that shapes up to be on Saturday. If I'm there's a prime timer, right? Like, that feels like a Saturday night. Houston Gonzaga feels like a Saturday night CBS game with Auburn and
it does.
Auburn Creighton early to start the action. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, Tennessee UCLA, if both teams win, could be one of those games late as well. You know, we'll see what they decide to do. Rick Pitino versus John Calipari could be a Saturday night game.
Yeah.
Depending on how things shake out, you know, you can have a lot going on this weekend. But the I would think that if Arkansas and St. John's happens, I don't know. I think I wouldn't be shocked at all if that's a close game. I've actually got Arkansas making a bit of a run in this thing.
I don't know that I have anybody that has lost that I had expected to go past today. So I'm still not feeling terrible. All right, I don't think we mentioned all the scores from today. You mentioned Houston. Houston played the way you would expect a one seed to. They absolutely destroyed SIU Edwardsville.
It was 52-24 at the half.
And it finished 78-40. I mean, they only scored 26 in the second half, but I don't think they played everybody a ton of minutes in the second half as well. Purdue knocked off High Point. I mean, there were a lot of people that sort of thought High Point as a 13 had an opportunity against a Purdue team, you know, without Zach Edey, would struggle against High Point. But the Boilermakers knocked them off 75-63.
And that's going to set up Purdue McNeese in the round of 32. One of those two teams is going to.
I may like McNeese.
One of those two teams is going to the Sweet 16.
It's just lack of respect, I guess, for Purdue.
And also, it's you know what? I think we find ourselves rooting a little bit for this Will Wade story, right?
Like, let's
see how far he can push this thing. And so, no, I'm right there with you. We have a couple of Saturday matchups set up now. So we know it's going to be Auburn Creighton. We know it's going to be Houston Gonzaga. We know it's going to be Wisconsin BYU. We know it's going to be
McNeese and Purdue.
I mean, I think those are all the finals from the early slate, right?
So say BYU's got
Wisconsin.
Yeah, okay.
And then I think the rest of the other eight games will decide the other half of the slate from.
That's basically the end of the opening segment.
Ooh, Bill, something urgent just came up that we may need to
a break. As a matter of fact. It is time for our final break of the afternoon. So we still got time for you to join in, 334-321-1390. Come on in as we close things out. Final segment coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here on the Thursday Drive.
For loving expert care for your pets, visit Moores Mill Animal Hospital.